You are at the right time, in the right place with
the right people.
Amen. Amen. I'm so happy to see you and worship God today, this morning. Wow, you have fantastic style. If you want to see how cool he is, maybe after worship, please come find him, and he has a very nice hairstyle. We have a few announcements, many of them, so please find some information in your bulletin. I will name some of them, actually a lot of them. So we are planning to have a membership class, so if you want to know more about it, please find me. I would love to have it. And we have, in this season, it's really, really busy. Oh yeah, let me mention that first. Church work day. We have a work day planned on the first Saturday of November. So please mark on your calendar. I'd love to see you, and we will clean inside and outside the church. There are so many positions available, so please hope to see you. And next Sunday is going to be Halloween Sunday. So you remember, between the services, we have more than 10. We had last year, we had more than 10 cars with a lot of sweet chocolate and candies, and kids, they were in Halloween costume. So we will have fun next week. And first Sunday of November is going to be All Saints Sunday. We want to honor and remember our beloved one who passed away in the past 1 year. So please, if you have anyone or your family members, friends, or neighbors whom you want to remember and pray, so please give me the name and the picture. Okay, and Thanksgiving basket, the information is available under the television in the fellowship hall. We try to help people, so our goal is 25 baskets, so please remember that as well. And bell ringing is coming. I really enjoy that, right? Some of you remember last year, so please remember that. Yes, I will cut this way. Mel, do you have an announcement? Alrighty, all right. And the second Sunday of November, we will have potluck. How about that? So, more information will be available, so please remember that. And today, Nancy is our liturgist. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? God's love is higher than the sky.
God's faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds.
God's righteousness is stronger than the mountains.
God's justice is deeper than the seas.
In God's love, we are safe.
In God's love, my life.
Please remain standing for our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art, verses 1 and 2.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world Thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. Please be seated. It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. During the week, we have a few people who have birthday. Dave Six and Ellie and Heather and Denver. They have birthday, so you can make a phone call or send a birthday card. And Bob and Cheryl, they have their wedding anniversary. Okay, now I want to invite you to share your joys and concerns. What joy you want to celebrate together? And prayer request, leave to God.
Fred and Rory are coming home today from fishing for a week, and they had pretty good luck. Weather was half good and half not good, but they fished anyway, and so they'll be home today.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's the good news, right? He's coming home, yes.
I had a good vacation.
Amen, amen, yes. And other joys and concerns? Yeah, her dog, the name is Pearl, and yes, they have been family, right? Many pets, they became our family and support one another, and I feel really sorry to hear that. Yes, thank you. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's beautiful. And today, it's going to be really warm weather, good weather, so we can enjoy the beauty of God. Thank you, thank you. Yes, please continue to have Caroline and her family in your prayers. Thank you. And it's harvest season. Please remember farmers in your prayers and for their safety, protection, and strength. So it's everywhere you see outside harvesting. I mean, people harvesting. So please remember them in your prayers. And it is my joy. Wednesday morning Bible study completed the book, and we will have Advent Bible study that is coming in a month. That is my joy as well. It's clicking again, right? Merciful God, you have done amazing work, great thing for us, and we can call you our God. And we rejoice. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence and your hand and your guidance and inspiration in our lives. Lord, this morning as we share our joys and concerns before you, spoken and unspoken, we lift all of them, all of our joys and prayers to you. Because we believe in you and we wait for you to lead us, continue to lead us in our time. Lord, we remember the people who are physically sick, ill, and physically challenged. Give them strength they need at this moment and give them your healing hand. And let them feel you, Lord, and provide comfort to their family. You know each one of their names, their needs, and the part of their body that needs healing. God, this morning, touch their body. Strengthen their immune system. You know each one of those names, Lord. And also, Lord, let them feel you. Let them feel the prayers. And let them feel they are not alone, but we are having them in our prayers. Lord, we also remember the people who are declining. We have hope and belief that you prepared the way and places and many rooms for the people who are declining and facing the new chapter of their lives after this life on earth. But Lord, we are human beings. We need your support. We need your comfort. We need your guidance. And also remember the people who are taking care of their beloved one who are declining. Let them feel you. Give them more strength, comfort, and hope. This morning, Lord, we pray for the people, and especially politicians in this country and the world. Lord, we hear so many news, but guide them to pay more attention to the people and goodwill. Let them listen to your voice, real peace and justice. God, lead us. And Lord, thank you for your guidance. You are the rock of our salvation. You gave Jesus Christ, and you sent Holy Spirit that leads us. You are shaping us, molding us, forming us in this season so that we may be followers of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks. Lord, be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let us through the ages, verse 1.
Forward through the ages in unbroken line, move the faithful spirit at the full divine. Give in differing measure hearts of one accord. Manifold the service, one on the solemn word. Forward through the ages in unbroken line, move the faithful spirit at the call divine.
Today's scripture comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then when that desire has conceived it, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. I read an extra verse.
Amen.
Someone needed that today.
We back. Oh yes. So we make fun of some Pharisees in Jesus' time because they had so many kinds of rules and laws. Moses received 10. How many? 10 commandments. But they added one more, and they finally had 613 laws. That is called halakha, but that was not enough. They had more and more and more, so they had, in Jesus' time, 6,000 rules and law. Some of them are fun. Some of them are interesting, such as, if you don't wash your hands before meal, you violate religious law. That is one of them. Interesting. So sometimes we make fun of what they had. But I feel it. Jesus summarized all the rules and laws into love God and love your neighbors as yourself. But I feel the needs of more because the struggles are real. The struggles between good and evil are real. What about this case and what about that case? God, give me some direction. Give me some direction. In that way, with that need, Israel people, they added more and more and more. And we find those rules and laws in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So, as we are talking about the struggles we have in our lives between good and evil, we cannot just go without talking about sin. Yes, We don't want to talk about sin that much, but today we will talk about that. And I'm going to talk about the seven deadly sins. Actually, each one of them has really good meaning, and I can make a sermon series of 7 weeks of sermon series with them, but you may not want to hear me talking about sin all the time for 7 weeks. So I'm going to make it really short, but try to find the real message, what's behind the seven deadly sin, because it is really important. It talks about how we wrestle with them as human beings. Between 2nd and 4th century, we don't know exactly what year it was made. But anyway, so many people at the time, they wanted to step away from all kinds of temptations of the world. Sometimes I feel it. I just want to go somewhere. Go away from all the temptation and from the world. But these people, they went to the desert and devoted themselves entirely to God. So that they went to the desert and lived in a cave, and they were called desert fathers. Some of them, they made a community, monastic communities, and they prayed, studied, read the Bible, and made some documents or writing. And there was a guy among the desert fathers. His name is really hard to pronounce. But anyway, Evagrius Ponticus. He went out there. And he had some kind of interesting revelation. He went to the wilderness so that he would get away from all kinds of temptation. But he found he was even more tempted in the wilderness. And he had more than, just imagine that, more than 12 hours a day doing nothing but thinking. Oh yeah, you don't want to do that. And he found many, he was not alone. He found many of his colleagues, the desert fathers, they were tempted as well by various things. And he began to write about them. What's happening to us? What's happening in our brain or in our mind? What kind of temptation are we struggling? So he wrote the seven deadly sins. Actually, he didn't call them the deadly sin. He called them the capital sins. It is like the foundational sins or foundational temptation. And they don't sound that bad at first. Because you may think there are so many bad, really, really bad stuff, worse sins. But these seven, they are the one through which you step into others. And even today, those seven, they are the struggles we have in our lives. They resonate with us. So, first one on the screen you see, lust, and the second one is gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. When you look at them carefully, technically they are distortion of God's good gift. Distortion of God's gift. And they lead us to idolatry. Because the thing we begin to focus on, each one of them, each one of the temptation becomes the most important things in our lives, and it takes the throne of God. So we don't have much places, so let's say, here's my chair. Use your imagination. It's a throne. How cool is it? Can you see? Oh yes, it's shiny. It's golden throne, shining, cool, and awesome one. How cool is that? Then who is in the throne of your life? What's on that throne? In other words, who is the Lord in your life? What the Bible says is that God is the source of life. God is the center of our lives and ruler of our lives. Loving God and loving neighbors as ourselves, by doing that, we find life. Because that is what we are made for. But we, as human beings, have a natural tendency to put something else on that throne in place of God. That is what happens when you look at those seven deadly sins, and we put something on that throne, and it is a distortion of God's good gift. So first, lust. It is a distortion of our sexuality. God made us sexual people. It is meant to be a gift from God. When you fall in love and have an intimate relationship, our brain releases a hormone that is called oxytocin. And it is a hormone that helps bind people together. And it is a binding chemical. We are meant to be bound together, especially with a particular person. In that context, in a context of marriage, this is intended to reinforce the bond of marriage. It is so precious. But when it becomes distorted, what happens is we end up giving the gift to this person, to this person, to this person, multiple people. We no longer have a capacity to bond in a way that is supposed to work in our lives, or we don't find any specific or special meaning with that. So lust is a condition that sexuality becomes no longer God's gift, but we just become a hormone maker or hormone generator for a temporary pleasure. And the gift, all of a sudden, the gift that binds us together has a control of us and takes a throne. We are no longer free, but a slave. And gluttony. When I thought about that one, I feel really guilty.
You feel guilty?
Yes. A lot. It's a distortion of God's good gift of food and drink. And you know, I love steak more and more and more. I feel like, okay, during the week, I felt really guilty. Oh my, I'm writing about gluttony and now I'm eating more and more. But in the case of extreme gluttony, we put food, drink on the throne. Somehow we live to eat instead of eating to live. And the next one, greed, is the distortion of God's gift of working hard and the desire to take care of ourselves and our family. And this, there is something inside of us that knows that we need to work, we need to take care of our beloved one. But what happens when greed takes over? It is, we begin to think, you know, I just want more. I just want a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more, and we find we are never be satisfied. And all of a sudden, the most important thing becomes simply having more. It is not just about taking care of ourselves or family, but about wealth itself. Simply having more and more, and it takes the throne in our lives and becomes the Word and the Lord. And we serve it and give ourselves to it, sometimes even at the cost of our family and beloved one. And Apostle Paul says, those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires. You know, money is essential to our lives. so critical. And John Wesley and Apostle Paul talks about a lot about money and how to use it. But are we using money, or are we letting money leading our lives? And the next sloth is an interesting one. It might be laziness. It might be overvaluing rest, safety, and comfort. We know rest, it's a blessing. It is not a bad thing. In fact, God commands it. It is one of the Ten Commandments. We are meant to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, and we are meant to rest. We are meant to give our friends and employees rest. Rest is an essential part of our life. It's a good gift. But when it becomes the object of our lives, when resting, safety, and comfort become the center of our lives, when it is what we live for, we are no longer willing to do with our lives. And we don't want to go outside of our comfort zone. It is not simply staying inside, feeling good, but also we don't want to go outside the comfort zone, even though God has planned over there. And the next, rest, is the distortion of appropriate anger. The thing we need to recognize is it is appropriate to be angry sometimes. That's not necessarily sin. Sometimes we need to be angry. Anger for justice. God gets angry in the Bible. And Jesus became angry when priests and political leaders were ripping off the poor people. And he overturned the money changers' table. So anger is appropriate sometimes. And in Ephesians, the epistle to the Ephesians, Apostle Paul says, be angry, but do not let the sun go down. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. What happens is when you begin to hold on anger, it turns into bitterness, and the bitterness eventually turns into hate and desire for revenge. Have you felt that? Have you experienced that kind of anger? Once bitterness turns into hate and desire for revenge, all of a sudden we live our lives in bitterness, and bitterness and anger control us, sitting on the throne. And envy is a distortion of admiration. We are meant to admire something. When you see something beautiful and lovely, when somebody has done a great job, when somebody has been very successful, we admire them and find ourselves saying, yeah, I want to do that. That's cool. I want to be like that. But when distorted envy takes the throne, we resent them. We see them happen. When envy takes the throne, we begin to find a way to tear them down. And we know the story of the Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis. Somehow God doesn't receive Cain's worship, but Abel's. And Cain, I mean, he could have thought, oh, what was the problem? What's happening? How can I make it better? But instead, envy took the throne of Cain, and he killed his brother. Can you believe it? We already talked about 6 of 7, and we have one last one. Oh yeah, I see your smile. The last one is pride. Church, and many theologians, including John Wesley, they said the pride is the most serious, the worst sin. Because for others, so many others, sometimes we put food on the throne, we put sex on the throne, we put money on the throne, fame, reputation, or all kind of stuff we desire, or even our safety on the throne. But when pride is our sin, we are wrestling with our pride, then we put ourselves on the throne. When that happens, everything around us is meant to serve us, and the people around us, and even God, really exist to serve our need, and we become the center of the universe. That is the distortion of God's good gift. We are meant to have a good self-esteem. We are meant to love ourselves. How can we love others if we don't love ourselves? It says, love your neighbors as yourself. That means if you don't love yourself, you are not capable of loving others, isn't it? And you are beloved one. Jesus came to us to tell us you are loved. You are so precious. But it is not about becoming the center of the universe. So these are the seven deadly sins. Thank God we don't have to have a seven-week sermon series with them. Then who do you have on the throne? I Googled some resources about them, and I found an interesting song, Don't Let the Devil Ride. The lyric was so fun, and I think it fits our message today. It's really simple. The word is really simple. It keeps repeating, don't let the devil ride. And it says, if you let him ride, he wants to drive the way. In our struggle between good and evil, my hope and prayers is we have God in the throne of our lives. We have seven kinds of stuffs, our struggles, but the main point is, who is Lord? Who's the Lord in our lives? Not food, not sex, not position, not reputation, not ourselves, but God. And then God will take the wheel and drive our lives in our journey to be like Jesus. Amen. There are so many kind of stuff outside, right, we are struggling with. And among those seven, which one spoke to you the most? Can you name one? Or you don't have to shout it out. Oh, yeah. Number two is really hard for me. We have some of them. Well, all of them we are struggling with. Because we are human. And one thing we can say is God knows us as we are. God knows our struggles. God knows where we are heading for. And God knows we need God. As we remember Jesus' love, unconditional love, as we receive this precious element of the Holy Communion, we say, God, I need you in this struggle. You take the throne in my life. You drive. Lead me. Amen. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, bless each one of us here as we are struggling sometimes, but we try to. We love to have you in the center of our lives. God, bless each one of us and lead us and guide us, and also bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion so that as we take them, Lord, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we may be the body of Jesus Christ redeemed by his blood. Lord, thank you. Lead us and guide us. We belong to you. Amen. We've done for a long time. As you know, if you feel comfortable and willing to come forward and have the piece of bread from one bread, please do so. If you feel, oh, not yet, you may remain sitting in your seat and join us. And when you come forward, please bring your cup with you. And there are two ways. You can just drink it or dip your bread into the juice. Either way, it's okay. Either way, it's okay. Now you are welcome. Oh, I forgot to make one announcement. Last week, we had really fun with the chili cook-off and the dessert auction, yes. And so many people love Jen's recipe, Jen's chili. That was fantastic. So if you want to have that recipe, it's available. You can find the recipe in the fellowship hall. Let's focus on something that we may be grateful. Where do you find God? And I want to invite you to share or think about it. Where did you find God? And what are the things you are grateful for?